Yo, 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 it's your boy Vic. I've been out of the mix. Ooh, I've been in the cut. And I'm here to say what's up. Welcome to another episode of Behind the Design, where we spotlight a new artist, where we spotlight a designer that is shaking the world up with design and doing their own twist, adding a new flavor in. We have no other than Domo in the house today. Please, can you introduce yourself? Who are you? Where are you from? And how did you even get in design in the first place?
Yeah, yo, yo, what's up, y'all? Yeah, I'm Domo. I go by Art by Domo. I'm from Indiana. Yeah. Anna, 26. What got me into art, man? So it's real like simple. It's you know, back in school, I would doodle on my homework all the time. You know, you know what I'm saying? I would just be in class and I'd be like, I'm not really interested in this stuff. I'd draw my little characters and stuff like that. And then ever since then, I just started drawing, like, because I was drawing when I was born in class, and then that just turned into a hobby. So then that hobby turned into what I do now, because over time I was like, okay, I'm starting to get good at this. Let me get some money off of this. Let me see if I can do this for a living. Yeah. So that's where it came from.
Huh. So, okay. So, you know, it sounds like we have like two spectrums going on. Boom, you know. You probably like, you were probably one of those, you know, like when you used to get like textbooks and like stuff will be like doodled, or did you used to do that, or you're just homework strictly?
It was everything, yo. It was everything, not just homework. It was whatever I had in front of me, if it was on a paper or something, I was drawing on it.
Okay, so, you know, you went from doodling on textbooks, homework, and, you know, now you're at the point where, you know, you're actually getting paid, you know, commissions. But, you know, can you talk a little bit about, like, what happened in the middle? Like, okay, you realized that you had this talent, mm-hmm. and, you know, people were recognizing you for it, but what was the next step?
Yeah, so the next step after that was I started taking art classes in high school. Beginning drawing classes to painting classes. They didn't really have digital design classes like that, so everything was like first, because now I'm into more digital. But that's how it started. And then after high school, see, crazy thing is, I didn't go to college right away. I took a couple years and practiced that craft, doing it for fun while working.
Yeah.
And then I went to a business school to learn graphic design. And
oh wow.
International Business College here in Indianapolis, really good school.
Jeez.
Ever since then, that's where it's been at. Yep.
That's tough. And it's, you know, it's interesting because like yesterday I was interviewing a designer, shout out Sierra, but you know, she went to school and she got a business degree, but at that point she was going to school for business. And then from there, it was like, she was like, oh man, like I really don't want to do this. But you know, yeah. Okay. So from your background, like with business now, I'll circle around and like connect to those parts, like, you know, later down the interview. So don't forget that. But my next question is, okay, can you describe your creative process? And would you say your creative process differs between you doing work for fun and you doing work for clients?
Gotcha. Yeah, my creative process is more so I start out by picking a color palette, like whatever. Feeling that day, I kind of just really, I go outside like in nature and I'm like, no, what am I feeling today? That's really how I do it too.
Yeah.
And let's say I choose like today, I want to do like a blue and yellow, maybe some white on my art. So I choose that. And then I go online and I find some textures. That's usually how I start out, is by finding textures. I just got a bunch of texture packs. Just find those colors, start mixing them together. So I start out really random and abstract. I just throw everything together that just comes to my mind in the moment.
Yeah.
Okay. That's how I build off of it.
Mm. And then
What was that other question? Sorry.
Oh, I was just saying, like, does your creative process differ between you, like, you know, doing stuff for fun and you working with a client?
Yeah, it does differ. Actually, yeah, I do like doing art for fun and for myself, for, you know, but to make it a living, to do what I'm, to, you know, to get to where I want to be, you do have missions. It differs in a way as, it's just less pressure, less stress, you know, it's my ideas in terms of working with somebody else's ideas, but that's not always, I like, you know, I like working with somebody else's ideas and turning that into something as well. So, yeah.
Got you. You know, random question, but what do you feel is the most underrated part about graphic design?
Man, underrated part about graphic design. That's a great
question. And say, answer the question the way that you interpret it.
Mm-hmm. Shoot. I think it just takes talent, like, shoot. Just finding the perfect font for a, let's say, for a poster, for a cover art, for anything, that takes talent just in itself. Finding the right, you know, the perfect font that fits with this image that, let's say, if it's for a client, that fits their sound, you know, it's something that has to match with the vibes that they're giving. Yeah. So I think the underrated part, people don't realize it takes talent just to have an eye for that stuff too, not just making it, but knowing what works with what.
Yeah, you know, and the thing that's just very interesting now is, like, you know, in a way, like, maybe let's say, like, maybe 5 or 10 years ago, I think, like, you could get away with certain things, like, you know, if you're promoting something and, like, your content is mid, right? Like, you know, like, people, but I feel like now today, everything is so digital. Everyone is trying to compete for your attention. Everyone is trying to, you know, kind of get a one up over each other when it comes to branding and marketing and aesthetics. Like, it's like, people aren't like, even if you're an artist, like, no one is clicking on your song, like, if your cover art is trash. I'm saying this to allude to, what makes you, you, like, how, like, the same way, like, you know, and like they would say, like, an artist has a sound. How would you say you developed your aesthetic as a designer?
Yeah, how I developed my aesthetic, really just, you know, I just really make everything from, like, my soul, that, you know, that's really how it is.
Yeah.
Like, how to explain it, but it just comes out on paper or on the screen just from, like, listening to my soul. I'll just, like, you know, go inside myself a little bit because I'm in a spirituality. So I'm just like, you know, it just comes out naturally. And then it, boom, it just comes out like that. I definitely, like, you know, originally get, like, inspiration from, like, you know, super old artists from back in the days. I'd, like, study art history, things like that. Since then, you know, my own aesthetics really, it just comes from within. That's all I can say.
Yeah. Nah, you can't, you came out the womb with Photoshop presets already, you know, ready to go. Man. Okay, cool. So now, like, you know, circling back to the business, right? Like, you know, you started out, you know, doodling. From there, you know, you really took the time to hone in on your craft. You went to school for business. So now, like, you're out of school, you know, you've developed, you know, you learn new skills while also in school as well. How were you able to, you know, start, like, getting your name out there and to the point where, you know, either people are coming to you or, you know, like, people are like, yo, like, you know, hit up Art by Domo, like, you know, how did you do that?
Shoot, I started out by just posting on Instagram. I started out on Instagram. That was, you know, the very first platform that I posted my artwork on. And, you know, I started out organically. I didn't really, you know, take any shortcuts, started out with no followers, of course. And just started posting every single day, posting my art. Let's over see, time. See. You know, I let people that I was close to know, like, follow me, you know, give me a shout out, you know, things like that. But
yeah,
over time, it just grew organically. I would just post my art every single day and people like it, you know, over time. Yeah. Just grew. It's definitely a part where you got to connect with other artists and stuff. So I would find other artists and, you know, comment on their work and show love first. And then, you know, they would do the same back. And that's how I grew as well.
1,000%. And like at the end of the day, like life is, you know, you, in order to receive, you also got to give as well. So that definitely makes sense. And, you know, I also know like in pre-production, you were talking about like how you were collaborating and you were working on different things for artists. Can you like expound on that a little bit? Like, you know, what does like a collaboration look like when you're, you know, working with another artist?
Mm-hmm. It really differs, you know, with each different one, but usually the concepts we come up with, it really depends on what mood we're both feeling. If we're feeling like some spiritual work. So like, for example, one right now is going to be a piece that kind of like, it visually talks about, or it'll visually show shadow work and the person that's going through working on themselves. So we're going to like depict a character who's like working on himself in a way. You gotta like, we gotta visually show that. Yeah. So that's how it goes. You know, we decided on color schemes, you know, usually whatever color goes with spirituality and stuff like that, which I think we're going with the heat wave color. So like orange and pink for this piece right here that I'm working on with someone else. Mm-hmm. And then the difference, because I have another one I'm working on where we literally just like make some random work, you know, something cool, something tight, and then we just send it back and forth, doing like, yo, just add some cool shit to it, boom, boom, there you go. So it differs. Sometimes there's a concept. We just make some crazy stuff.
Would you know, like, obviously, like, it sounds like there's some things where it's just like planned out, and then there's other things where it's just like, you know, just, you know, you figure it out. Like, would you say a majority of your collaborations are more along the lines of like, you know, let's say you have a designer that is like that specializes and is really great at like typography, and then there's another designer that's really great and, you know, the texture is their thing. Would you say like you guys play off of each other's strengths and weaknesses, or typically like how does that work? Like how are you able to be like, okay, I'm gonna handle this and then I'm gonna handle that?
Yeah, no, that's important. We definitely, I do talk about that with the other artists that I work with. And we already know just by looking at each other's artwork and supporting each other, we already know what each other's strengths are. So sometimes we don't even have to talk about that. But when we do, it's definitely like, yo, you're better at typography, you know, so you can add some cool typography somewhere on this piece. Mm. And then I'm better good with like blending colors or doing texture work, and then we definitely do it that way, and then we just add as we go, and we work off each other's strengths, like you said. Yeah, pretty much.
Copy. So this is another random question, but you know, what are your thoughts about NFTs?
NFTs are, you know, I think it's a real breath of fresh air, honestly. I think I got into it like back in October and I didn't know anything about it. What is this? People are making a lot of money, like so much. But after a while of being into it, you realize it's not really about just the money, even though that's changing people's lives. It's about like connecting and building and learning more about the cryptocurrency market. Like, you know, just outside of the norm, which is what, you know, everybody just knows about. Wherever they're from, like in the U.S., you know, most people just know about U.S. dollars. They don't know about cryptocurrency. And so it was just, you know, it's cool to learn about another, you know, form of currency as well. It's just, and then, you know, getting into the NFTs, it's just, it was just crazy. It's a whole nother world, you know, get to build with people and get yourself out there more as well. Find people like who collect your work. It's just, it's all dope.
1,000%. And it's, and you know, like the space is still like relatively new. You know, and at the same time, like there's, I would say like you said, right? Like there are people making money, but I feel like that's really like the 1% of the 1%. But I think, you know, like the potential that it has is like, you know, immense, where it's like, let's say you create a piece or, and that piece gets like resold or it gets repurposed in different ways. Well, you know, that's a way where you can just build up that residual income every time like something with your original creation was created. And, you know, of course, there's still gonna take, everything like takes time, but like, I think, you know, this may be, you know, like an open door to, you know, where designers and just creators in general are able to, like you said, have a breath of fresh air and really know that their work is being valued.
Yeah, yeah, I agree with that. It's like you, I mean, you still got to put the work in, but when that happens and you're getting money off the secondary market, that's great. That's a little, it's like less pressure off you. It's like, I sold this and then I'm still getting residual income from this.
Yeah.
Focus more on pushing out more. And it's also like, you know, awesome thing that somebody even values your work to repurchase it after it got purchased the first time. Like, you know, I just think that that's real awesome too. So it's a good feeling knowing that people like, you know, see your work and then they feel, you know, some type of way about it to where they feel it's worth the price that you put it at. That's, you know, pretty cool.
Sheesh. No, 1,000%. So now, okay, like, you know, still circling back to the business. Let's keep it real here. What are your least favorite parts about freelancing and working with clients?
Yeah, my least favorite is the revisions that the clients brought. Yeah, it's definitely the revisions. Talk to me. Yeah, man, they, you know, when I started out, I was just doing unlimited because when you start out, you got to just do, you know, do what you do so you can get this money from them or, you know, and get this piece done with if you finish it. Over time, I definitely, you know, started charging per revision, but that's my least favorite because it's like, let's say they hit you up and they're like, yo, I want some cover art. I'm going to give you creative control over it though, just do your thing. So they tell you that you can do your thing and then you get, and then you know, you send a piece to them and then they're like, actually I want it like this, I want it like that. So that, you know, that gets annoying because it's like, well, you should have, like, you know, gave me more details, specific details, because I always ask that in the beginning too.
Yeah.
Others, where you want this placed? And then they're like, nah, just do your thing. The next thing you know, it's like, nah, actually, I want this and this and that. And, you know, like they say, time is money. So, you know, the revisions, a lot of time you got multiple to do.
So, facts. No, 1,000%. And I think another thing too with revisions is like, what is a revision at the end of the day? Because like, there's some revisions where it's like, all right, I can just change this font or I can just change this color easy, boom, 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 a few clicks. But then there's kind of like those revisions where it's like, oh, wait, like I'm kind of started a new project. Like, what's going on?
no lie. Yeah, it's like, because sometimes they will be like, yo, just change everything. And it's like, bro, what do you mean? Like, just start all the way.
It's pretty wild, but like, okay, you know, but, you know, we talked about like, you know, the downsides and you talked about like the revisions. Do you feel that like your business background has helped you in, you know, managing and growing your current like design business?
Yeah, definitely. Because, you know, over time, I learned this skill, got better as time went on. So I definitely believe that it helps, you know, in the future. I can, you know, set down certain rules, been writing out contracts for the business and just everything like that. So I think, you know, you got to build up to that way, because I didn't start out being able to do things a certain way in a free, but now, you know, now as I've been doing this for like 3 years, I'm able to.
Yeah, 1,000%. And can you walk us through like your tech stack, meaning like, you know, like what programs do you use to produce your art? Like, do you have any specific like plugins? I know we talked earlier about like different texture patterns that you use. Like what is in your belt, like your toolbox?
Mm-hmm. I only work off of my MacBook. I got a MacBook Air. That's the only thing. I don't have a PC like a lot of people do, but you know, I still make it work with what I got. I only use Photoshop and Illustrator. I use a little bit of Lightroom as well. Those are the only three programs I use. And like textures, I get the textures from like from Black Market. That's a website where they have like tons of resources for designers to use.
Yeah.
So I get my textures from there, or I make my own, because you know there I learned how to make my own textures as well.
Oh wow!
Yeah, there's so many tutorials on how you can learn how to just start creating your own resources. So I started doing that, but those are the only three programs I use to make everything.
Yeah, nah, 1,000%. And like, you know what? Like, let's say you're on Black Market, right? You're looking for new things to buy or like cop, like. How do you know, like, is it more like you look at something, you like, oh, I need that? Or is it more like some of these things are giving you trials or you're like, you're getting a feel for it? Because, you know, you don't want to get something that's mid and you spent like, you know, cash money and it's like, I'm not using this again.
Yeah, it's true. Well, honestly, when I look at it, I'm like, dang, I need that. Shout out to Black Market. They got a lot of cool things on there. Yeah. A lot of cool. And so I bought almost everything on there, to be honest with you, over time.
Yeah.
Like, but there definitely is certain things where I'm like, I don't need this. It's not going to help me out that much. But, you know, there's a lot of things that I have used too that really has helped me with cover art and helped me with any type of design, you know, that I've done in the past and currently.
Very, very tough. And like, you know, what other tips and tricks would you share and would you provide with the design community? And even backtracking from that question, it's even to ask that question in a simpler way. Like, what do you wish that you knew when you were first freelancing and getting into design that you know now?
Mm-hmm. Man, that's a real good question too. What I wish I knew. Yeah. What do I wish I knew? You know? Man, that's a good one, bro. I don't even know. I really wish I just knew about contracts earlier, I guess, because I a lot of time maybe did some cover art that I ended up not getting paid for before. That definitely happened in the past. So that's one thing I'd say, learning more about contracts and getting that in the picture first before even starting or talking about the projects in general.
Yeah, 1,000%. And like, you know, with these contracts, and you talk a little bit about it because, you know, I've like, you have a business background, you're a visual artist as well. Like, what do you think are the main like bullet points that you should focus on in, you know, creating a sophisticated contract?
Mm-hmm. Like I talked about at first, revisions definitely make a mat as a, I allow, like me now, I allow like one free revision and then I'll charge like a certain amount per revision after that, depending on what it is too, I'll give them some leeway.
And finally, like, is there any like other questions or anything else that you would like to share that like we didn't cover during this interview?
Well, actually, you guys had a question on there. It was a free question, and it was about what my favorite project was. So I just would like to share that my favorite project that I've ever made or piece, it was if you go look, it's a piece called Pain is Temporary. And it's a image of it's really textured. It's like a character you know, he's got his head down. That I drew that out and just added a lot of textures and just like cool colors with it. But the meaning behind that, you know, obviously pain is temporary. So I just wanted to make something that other people can relate to when they're, you know, going through whatever. A lot of, it's, you know, I want to speak to whoever's viewing it. Let them know they're not alone. Let them know, you know, whatever you're going through, you're going to be okay at the end of it. Just got to stay positive and, you know, work towards getting better at whatever you're doing.
Yeah. And like they said, like a picture is worth a thousand words. And it's like, it's also interesting too, because like sometimes you may look at something and like, you know, like the audience or someone that is just a fan of the art may like appreciate it in one way. And then like, you know, like you did, like you just broke it down to me. And it's like, dang, like that's kind of deep. Yeah. I need to, I need to be on what he on like that. Exactly. But everything has a story.
Yeah, yep, exactly. No lies told. Everything has a story, and that's kind of where I base a lot of my pieces off of. Everything has a story. Everything has a message within it that I want other people to see and feel, you know, actually feel it. I think that's how you connect with people, when they can really see your art and just like it makes them feel some type of way, like hits their soul or spirit, you know.
Jeez. Man, well, it's been a pleasure having you on the pod, Domo. Like, you know, like, man, it's just very, very interesting, because like you have a lot of stuff going on. You have that business background. You know, are able to create your own like custom textures and do all of these types of things. And you're really just on the grind. Like, where can people like find you on social media and like all different like digital platforms?
Yeah, first, I appreciate that, man. I appreciate you guys finding me and just, you know, connecting with me and stuff like that. We'll definitely, yeah, you know, in the future. But to find me, I am on Instagram, agusart.bydomo, because art by Domo, like just that, it was taken. I don't know why or how. Okay. And you can also find me on Twitter, and I couldn't put it as the same because it was, but my Twitter is _bydomo. Those are the two platforms that I use and post my artwork on. So that's where you guys can find me at.
Perfect. Perfect. Well, thank you once again. And like, make sure to follow our boy over here.
Appreciate you, man.